Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network. This is Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer. If it's a car, motorcycle, boat, or anything else with an engine in San Diego, it's on Racer Radio. Now, here's your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome to Racer Radio. I'm Dave, and here comes Michelle with her Diet Coke. She's been burning the candle at both ends.
I was racing back for Racer Radio.
Yeah. San Diego Carburetor Fuel Injection is a sponsor of this segment, 6622 University Avenue. Go to www.sdcarb.com, sdcarb.com. If you're looking for someone that'll take your race car, make it go faster, your classic car, get a trophy, or just everyday driving. That's sdcarb.com, sdcarb.com. Hey, it's been a while since we've had good old Norm DeWitt on the line. He's been going to every probably motorsport venue from here to there to there to here. Got a new book out. How you doing, Norm?
I'm doing great, Dave. Long time, no talk.
Yeah, well, I always wait for you to call me because I figure, you know, you're only going 100 and 180 mile an hour.
Pretty much, but I'm back for a while now, so I thought I would catch up with you and what's news with me, and we'll just chat for a while about motorsports.
Sure. When did you find time to write another book?
Oh, I've been working on it for over 3 years since everybody seemed to like making it faster, the previous book, so much, and asking for sequels. I decided to do Making It Faster too, and this one's specifically on Indianapolis and Grand Prix cars.
Oh. Ooh,
how exciting. So how far back do you go? Say, we'll just start with IndyCar.
Well, in IndyCar, I have the story of the Novi.
Oh, wow. That is back.
Yeah, and at about the same time as that, I worked with Sir Sterling Moss on the story of the Van Wall.
Mm-hmm.
The last front engine, well, the only front engine
right.
car to win the Manufacturers Championship in Formula One.
Wow.
So it goes back a while, and then stories of Team Lotus back in the before the John Player Special days. With various drivers and mechanics, and that was some mind-blowing stuff back in those days. Hearing it firsthand from the people that worked on the cars is always incredible.
Yeah.
Sir Jackie Stewart helped me with the story of the BRM 16-cylinder Formula One cars.
Okay.
And, you know, that was the H16 engine, which was two flat eights stuck on top of each other and geared together. And that was an incredible contraption that normally left pieces all the way down the track more often. But and then where I did the story of Penske cars with Roger Penske and Rick Mears, Emerson Fittipaldi, and Chuck Sprague and Jerry Breon from the mechanic and team management side. And Morris Nunn, who sadly we just lost a little over a week ago, the story of Ensign Cars, and his wife told me last week that my story on the history of Ensign, which was his Formula One team, was the last interview Morris ever did.
Oh, wow. Did he ever, well, he hasn't seen the book. He wasn't able to stay with us long enough, I take it.
I sent him the book months ago.
Oh.
So he did get to see the book.
Excellent.
Unfortunately, Chris Amon didn't. Chris helped me a lot with the book, the story as well, because he was the best driver that, out of some great drivers, he was the best driver that Ensign ever had.
Interesting. So, yeah. Who would be the reader? Who's this book? Who did you write this book for?
It's geared exactly for the same people that made Making It Faster, The Endless Search for Speed, the number one book in motorsports, auto racing, and in automotive engineering.
Mm-hmm.
So for the same people that Making It Faster was, only this one is Making It Faster too. So mm-hmm. as you might surmise, it's for people that have a curiosity. Like, I worked with Bernie Ecclestone and Charlie Whiting, who's the Formula One race director now. He used to be a mechanic at Brabham. And Herbie Blash, who is his assistant race director, was the team manager of Brabham back when Bernie Ecclestone owned the team. And, for example, just one story from that, the Brabham fan car, it had a fan on the back of it that was geared off the Alpha Flat 12. That car sucked itself to the ground, kind of like the Can-Am Chaparral of a few years before. And when they took it to scrutineering, they said, no, it's just to cool the car. And so when they were blipping the throttle, the car would have been going up and down, but Herbie Blash stuck his foot under the side of the tub and lifted up on the skirt, breaking the seal. So they couldn't tell that the car was basically a giant vacuum cleaner that would suck itself to the ground because he broke the seal with his toe.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, I was very fortunate to work with the guys who, you know, it's all first-person stories, so it's not a lot of conjecture on my part. It's been more taking questions I always had about the history of these teams, and the participation was stellar. I got to work with Sir Frank Williams on the story of the early days of Williams in Formula One.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Courage for their driver in a customer Brabham. So, you know, just I was very fortunate. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff on recent Formula One developments, working with current engineers like Patty Lowe and, Pat Simmons, who is, until a couple years ago, the technical director at Williams. Mm-hmm. And I just had amazing access to James Allison, who's now with Mercedes, and then he was with Ferrari. All these, you know, technical directors that know how this stuff works, that would explain it to me, so I would try to explain it in a way that everyone would understand what's really going on here.
Right, exactly. And, you know, of course, back in the day, they wouldn't tell you nothing.
Of course not. Well, actually, you know, these days, I was able to get a surprising amount of cooperation from the Formula One paddock, probably because I didn't ask them too many stupid questions. And so they would actually tell me how a lot of this stuff is currently working and where the strengths and weaknesses are of what cars. It's been a fabulous adventure putting this book together. It's about, I don't know, 450 pages or something.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. It's not a difficult read. I just got a wonderful, wonderful endorsement from Roger Penske. We were sitting around at Indianapolis, and I said, you know, we work together a lot. I was wondering if you could, I know you love my stuff. I was wondering if you could give me an endorsement for my new book. Mm-hmm. He'd read it, and he said, when you think about publications, certainly on history and accuracy, these books are the best.
Wow, that's awesome.
Roger Penske, yeah.
So how do people find the book?
It's everywhere, but easiest probably is Amazon.
Okay.
Or my website, which has links to everything for sale, which is makingitfaster.com.
That's easy.
Yeah, and the books are Making It Faster and Making It Faster, too.
There you go.
Sounds like a franchise.
And it sounds like a great gift idea for that hard to buy four person in the family, male or female.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely for the people that have a sense of curiosity about how the hell did they pull that off? Or what am I missing here? What don't I understand?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's been so often the genesis. Like, I have a whole chapter on the active Formula One cars of 1993, when everybody had developed those hydropneumatic suspensions that were all computer controlled, where they didn't have, well, if they did have springs, they were very minor, just to keep the thing off the ground in the pit lane. And it was phenomenal getting to work with all the engineers that developed those things. And the Williams factory actually invited me back into the back room where they're restoring things like the six-wheel car. And Nigel Mansell's FW14B was stripped down to the tub, and they showed me everything about how the active suspension works. So I've been very fortunate.
Yeah, so sounds like there might be another book in the wings.
Well, this one, you know, there was over three years between Making It Faster and Making It Faster, too.
Mm-hmm.
So these aren't something that I just churn out. It takes a long time to have the access to the players and to turn that into coherent and interesting stories.
Right. So, all right, buddy. Well, hey, thank you very much for calling in. Don't be a stranger. We'd love to chat with you again. And we'll definitely be talking to you down the road.
Anytime, Dave. Thank you very much.
All right, you take care, buddy. All right, we're going to take a small break. When we come back, Dirt Dude is on the line, and he's going to tell us everything that happened at Barona Speedway last night. Stay tuned to Racer Radio. I'm Dave.
And I'm Michelle.
AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, hey, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio. I'm Dave.
And I'm Michelle.
And this segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford. We're absolutely, nobody treats you better than El Cajon Ford. Located at 1595 East Main Street in El Cajon, deals are just rampant over there. They're discounting their whole line of cars like you would not believe. Stop by, tell them you heard it right here on KCBQ AM 1170. They'd appreciate it. They also sponsor this segment for Barona Speedway. Paul Dyke, the owner, he actually drives out there. So his son used to drive out there. So he supports Barona Speedway pretty heavy duty. With that being said, we got Dirt Dude on the line. How you doing, bud?
I'm hanging in there for another weekend. How about you guys?
Oh, you know, just trying to stay cool.
Yeah, it's a little tough to do unless you're inside all day, huh?
Absolutely. So how'd it go last night?
It was a little bit warm. We had about 60 cars show up and about almost 400 fans, which is pretty good because, you know, they had the fires. Mm-hmm. For me, I had to go all the way around into Poway to get back up to Ramona, so I had to take a long way around because the 78 was closed. But it was a good night of racing. Everything worked out well. And we are in our junior drivers, our junior sprints. Deegan Irie got his second main event win.
That's awesome.
On the Masters Mini Dwarfs, Jalen Gill got her second main event win. The Sportsman's was Charlie Carty got his fifth main event win. And then to the big track, Dave Capella got his fourth main event win. And it was a good battle between him and the 28 Brian Brown, which has four main event wins, and Paul Bamberger, which has one main event win. That was a real good battle.
Yeah.
On to the Modifieds, Eric Evans showed up with a car last night. And that thing was just strong, solid rocket. Wilson Henry came in second. Kyle Morris showed up for third, and Cole Dick got fourth. Those guys were fast. They had a perfect track, too.
Wow.
On to the Pro and Stock Ponies. We're looking at the 81 Eric Malcheski got his second main event win in a stock pony, and Dennis Taylor got his ninth main event win in a pro pony. And to our Pure Stocks, Mike Lurwell showed up with a Pure Stock. He's got tons of different cars, so he has a pro, a pure, a mod. So he showed up last night with a pure stock and won for a main event win, and it was a good run there. That was a pretty good track for them. Then our dwarf cars, John Isabella got his third main event win. Ryan O'Connor came in second for who knows how many times. He's got two main event wins, but if he's not winning, he's second, it seems like there. Brittany actually had a good run last night. She finished seventh overall.
Great.
Out of the 15 cars that showed up. So she did good.
Wow.
Well, didn't she? I think she started, what, like 14th or something, and it worked her way up?
She started 11th.
Okay.
That's finished seventh.
Still great.
She had a good run. And then last night was our celebrity night. So we actually had three celebrities came out, and we built them little four-cylinder front-wheel drive cars. Nine Motorsports, Eric Evans built two, Comfort Motorsports built one, and we had Clint August and the car built by Comfort Motorsports, and then Tabitha Lipkin and Chris Boyer were in the cars built by Nine Motorsports. So
who won that?
I'm gonna say it was fun.
Who
was
won that
fun
race?
To see these out there. Well, you'd already have to guess. Chris Boyer, the Destroyer, came out there. We started him. We started everyone on the front straightaway. Well, the other two, Tabitha and Clint, we started on the front straightaway right past the flag stand and did a standing start, five countdown. And we put Chris Boyer over right in between almost turn three and four. So he had like a quarter of a track he had to make up. But just a great hole shot, two laps, and he was already to the back or to the middle of the group. And then, you know, we did six laps. And then we didn't know how long. Basically, they didn't know how long or how well the cars are going to hold together because, you know, the motors are just, I mean, these are just stock cars, stock Hondas and
wow.
Ultimas, Luminas. That's the other one was a Lumina. So you're like, you know, how much are these things going to take? But they actually did really well. So we're thinking about, we want to do another celebrity race or actually bring this class in as an open class or a new, like, pure stock class, a front-wheel drive import pure stock class. Right. Or, you know, you can still use it for if you want to do powder puffs or something like that. It just worked out really great.
Hmm.
So where did Clint August end up?
He finished third. It was Tabitha Lipkin got second. Chris Boyer finished first. Tabitha Lipkin second. Clint August third. But, I mean, they were really close. It wasn't like, you know, Boyer ran away with it. There were probably a couple car lengths in between all three of them. So, like, he had a couple, he had Chris, and then a couple car lengths, and then Tabitha, and a couple car lengths, and then Clint. And they pretty much held that pace. Because I was like, we should have started Chris Boyer on the front, but one lap down. So that means he'd have to go all the way around
right.
the field. Because, you know, he's got ability. He does a lot of the
go-kart stuff. He does it every week.
Yeah. So, and plus, you race Cajon. Clint August said he'd been to Cajon once. I think he did maybe a spectator or a race there. He's raced there once. And Tabitha Lipkin, I don't think she's really raced anything. She came out and we had like a, she did a thing on the track. And Eric Evans was like, here, take my car out. He goes, I'll ride with you and tell you what to do. He's like, here, she was out there staring at me because like she was, you know, getting into it. She had a great time. It was just great to see them come out and really have a great time. And actually, I tagged you guys onto a segment that Tabitha did on Facebook, so you guys can see that.
Well, the nice
report on Bona.
Yeah, and you got a nice Fox 5 did a nice coverage for the track, so hopefully that'll boost attendance for the next race.
Yeah, hopefully so. You need to do something, and just the problem is we're in summertime now, and it's so hot, you know, so much to do. But a lot of people will show up in the afternoon after the sun kind of goes down or after it cools off, and that helps a lot.
Right.
The race really getting good. Yeah, last night we had Troy was out of town. He was on vacation, so kind of handled the track ourselves with Todd and Tricia and Judy, and had I'm trying to remember who cut the track last night. Stoney, one of our friends, cut the track last night. Did a nice clean shave on it, and added water. And we rolled it in. So, I mean, it came in perfect for the night. Like, the street stocks are the first ones out. A little sloppy at the beginning of the run, but it came in halfway through, and they were just, you know, fast for all of that. And actually, track was still pretty good from when we had dwarf cars out there. So, it was a good night. The track held together really well and managed to get it dialed in for one night for good racing.
Excellent. So, what's the next race?
2 weeks. I didn't bring a schedule in with me.
August 11th.
August 11th, and I think just a normal night of racing. We're not doing anything until sprint cars are lightning sprints coming back and then a figure eight.
Right. Lightning sprints, August 25th, and figure eights, October 6th.
And then I think we're talking about that figure eight. Oh, I think, I'm trying to remember when that is. They told me there's an open comp night where modifieds are running out of town. There's like a big, huge modified race somewhere back east, or usually it's always back east, Indiana or something like that. When they do those, that's a non-point sanction night for every other track that makes it available. So if anyone wants to travel to there to go to it, you know, there's no points lost. So we're talking about we're going to do an open comp night with side panels and big wings and stuff like that. And that'll pay right now $500 to win.
And what date is that?
I'm trying to remember which date that was, if that was in August or September.
Okay. All right, well,
I'll try and get back to Bob Belcher, who does all of our IMC Modified stuff, was telling me about it last night. I don't remember the date.
Now, I got you.
They had people coming up and telling me, you know, dates. I guess you're doing a lot of stuff at Cajon Car Show.
Mm-hmm.
You have a couple of dates down there. Rad's doing one Wednesday on Orange, and then another, and I think the next weekend or a couple weeks after that, then our junior drivers are going to be there on Orange, and then a couple weeks after that, all of our drivers are going to be on Orange. So we got like three dates that we're going to be on Orange Avenue for the El Cajon Car Show.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Well, we ought to set up another KUSI when you get a chance, too.
Yeah. That would be fun. I mean, it'd be
even if the lightning, even if you want to do it, even if you want to do it for the lightning sprints. And the reason I say that, you know, the more you guys do for the lightning sprints, the more people. And I got to tell you, you get a lot of people show up when the lightning sprints are in town.
The figure eight race is actually a crazy one. A lot of people showed up for that one.
That's so true too.
Yeah, you talked to Jesse Gordon, so maybe if he comes down for that, we can get him. You know, do him. Do the figure eight and have him come down and
absolutely
one of those you offered to him before. So
yeah, I'm just waiting to hear from him. I'd love to do it. It should be a lot of fun. Bug him.
Because he's running a modified frame on that figure eight car. He would be open for this open comp night because he's running side panel, side wing.
Yeah.
So if he wanted to come and try and get in on that, there's a good chance he could do pretty well.
Sure. Sounds like an awesome deal. So for people that don't know where the track is, tell us a little bit about the track.
It's just 3 miles past the casino on Wildcat Canyon Road. Check us out at bronaspeedway.com, and we are on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. A lot of our drivers are on Facebook. Again, great time. Come out, $12 to get in. You can bring your own food and drink. If not, we have a great concession stand, overnight camping, as long as you're self-contained. And everything else is just come out and enjoy a family night of racing.
Absolutely. I tell you what, and there, you know, you just pay the price of admission. You're in, no parking charges. You know, take your RV if you want to bring that up. Pup tent, they don't really care.
And your own barbecue.
You can sleep overnight, wake up the next morning, probably have breakfast with one of the 20 or 30 driver teams that are still there having breakfast. You wouldn't have to even bring any food.
Yep. It's a great night, man. Got to get everyone out there.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, again, baronaspeedway.com, folks. baronaspeedway.com. Make sure you go out there and check out Dirt Dude. You'll always see him out in the middle of the track hooting and hollering.
Yep.
Try to do my best. Make it entertaining.
You do a great job, buddy. All right, we're going to let you go. Have a good one, man. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, and hope you're staying cool.
You too, guys. Thanks. Stay cool.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a small break. When we come back, we have got Matt Jones on the line. He's from SoCal Oval Carters. He's going to talk to you about an event coming up at Paris Auto Speedway right here on AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, hey, welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio right here on AM 1170, The Answer. I'm Dave.
And I'm Michelle.
And this segment is Paris Auto Speedway. Go to parisautospeedway.com, 18700 Lake Paris Road. Tell you what, half mile dirt, super fast, super fun. But there's other things going on up there as well. Matt Jones is on the line. He's from SoCal Oval Carters. Hey, Matt, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Dave. Doing pretty good.
All right. So how are the wonderful world of karting doing for you?
Oh, it's doing pretty good. We're having our show next weekend, Saturday, August 4th. So it should be pretty good.
All right. Tell us all about it.
So our gates open at 1 p.m., and we're going to have practice about 4:45. We have 5 classes with the club. We have our junior clone class, which is a Predator engine, and our other classes include KT100, which is a Yamaha 100cc air-cooled two-stroke. We also have a senior four-cycle class, which is basically a clone class also, but for the 16 and up. And then our other class includes an open, which is basically anything you can imagine on a go-kart.
Awesome. So do you race yourself?
Personally, I've been racing for I've been in karting for 16 years. Since I took over the club, I've not been able to race just because of all the stuff that goes along with that.
Well, that's the thing with management. Once you move up to management...
Right.
Yeah, you got a tiger by the tail at that point, so it's a lot harder to enjoy the thing that you're doing yourself. But so it sounds like you've got a lot of different of classes going on, and And this is under the lights, so people can go. It says 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you can check it out for about how many hours of racing could they expect?
So the racing starts at 6 p.m., uh-huh. and we plan on being down about 9:30, and then we'll have trophy presentations after that.
Oh, nice. So this is this at the same facility? It's at Paris, but there's a little different area off. It's not in the main speedway area.
No, it's just outside of turn four. To get there, you turn like you're going to Paris Auto Speedway, and then it's gate C. It's just before the pavement go-kart track. It's on the right-hand side.
Yeah, so basically you're using the same parking lot that you'd use when you're going to go to the regular dirt track races, but it's a little further back.
That's correct.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I know exactly where you're talking about. Cool. And is this a circuit that you guys go, you come in here to Paris? Have you been at some other tracks in California, or what's your season looking like?
Yeah, so this year we just acquired our new track, which is the SoCal Fair Motorcycle Speedway. We also will be hitting Victorville up there at Wheel to Wheel Speedway, I think in 2 months. And then we also run on the big track on the infield. I believe in October we have a dirt road course that we set up.
Oh, and that'll be at Paris?
Yes, that'll be in the infield. Coach over there at Paris Auto Speedway, he cuts us a course on the infield, and it's a decent-sized road course dirt track, which is pretty cool.
Oh, great. That'll be really fun. But the place where you're going to race, the next set of races that you're going to do there are around the turn four gate C area. Those are on asphalt?
No, it's going to be, it's a dirt oval.
Ah, okay. Cool. How many people or how many teams do you think you've got?
We average about 35 club members a race that actually participate. And then we also have the Norco Mowers, Mr. Wesley Crabtree, he's the president of that club. They join us. So we actually have the mowers come out and race too, and they're full-blown alcohol running lawnmowers.
Oh, well, that's, you know, now you're talking to
I actually have.
I think that sounds fantastic.
I have a tractor. It doesn't have the lawnmower attachment to it. It's like but it's the same size as the lawn tractor. I know. I've been wanting to I want to do that.
They just showed, I showed Dave a picture from the LA Times of some lawnmower racing they were doing in Europe.
Oh, yeah. Well, they do a lot of it here in California.
Yeah, and these guys actually have legitimate mowers. I mean, they have, these things sound like a train running down the track. They're loud and they're fast.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds great.
And no blades.
No.
Yeah, you remove those. You don't need those if you're racing.
Absolutely. So, that's great. Hey, are you still doing the classes?
I'm sorry?
Are you still doing dirt cart classes so people could come up and
learn how to do one, to ride one?
No, we don't have anything through our club. Okay. There are couple different people that do that though.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, I just want to make sure because somebody had asked me when I told them that you were coming on, and I didn't think that you did class, but but it's easy to get into it. I mean, all you got to do is just Google dirt carts, and you can find used carts around and all sorts of stuff.
And that's carts with a K,
right?
Yeah.
And to be honest, I've done every form of go-karting there is. I've done speedway, I've done sprint, which is pavement, I've done enduro, which is lay down. And this is the dirt karting is the most affordable form of go-karting in the United States.
Right. You're not doing a lot of repairs unless you hit something. I mean, usually you buy an old asphalt cart and it's easy to convert.
Yes, most definitely. Buy like a 99 to 2004, you know, old asphalt cart. You go down to Burris Racing, you pick up their tires and wheels and change the gear, and you're basically ready to go. You can find those Yamaha KT100s basically everywhere for, you know, pennies on the dollar. You can get into karting for about, you know, on the high end for $1,500 race ready.
And those KT100s are bulletproof.
Yeah, that's correct. Little background. I work for Yamaha of America, and I build a lot of the KT100s out there at our track. And for even guys that run sprint series, they run the Horseman HPV. But it's a cheap, you know, it's a cheap engine to buy, and it's a cheap engine to maintain.
Well,
and it's, you know, 18 to 20 horsepower is what they come stock.
Well, and I got a little story myself. Back in the day, I was the president of the Blue Max Kart Club in Davis, California. And we had a little go-kart track in Davis. We figured out, are you ready for this? We figured out how to take money out of the off-road vehicle fund. And we built the track. We built the tower. We built it all. And then all of a sudden, the off-road vehicle people came out and said, hey, you don't have any green stickers on your carts. So the guys that ran the truck or the track figured out how to get the money, but we never, ever participated. And they couldn't take it away. I mean, the track was built. But we were all out there running McCullough's, as you know. And all of a sudden, here comes this big box truck, red, with Yamaha on the side of it. We all kind of looked at it, and I said, geez, I wonder what this is. And these guys rolled out this fire engine red Yamaha cart with a KT100 on it. And we all looked at that and said, that is never going to work. That motor weighs almost as much as our cart. What are you talking about? This is ridiculous. There's no way. Don't even bother unloading it. Look where they're at today.
Well, yeah, and that is the Yamaha was, when it came out, I believe in 1978, it was basically the McCullough West Bend killer. I mean, it kind of took over that. It kind of moved karting into the next era.
Right. Without a shadow of a, it took karting and made it not only affordable, but less expensive. No maintenance to speak of. I mean, and depending on whether you did a wet clutch or a dry clutch, I mean, tire pressure, measure your circumference, make sure you haven't bent nothing. And man, you could run a whole season, if not more, and never touch that motor.
Yeah, and that's the thing about our dirt series is, you know, when you run pavement, you put a new set of tires on every race.
Yeah.
Our guys probably put a set of tires on maybe once a season. Maybe halfway through the year, they'll put a right rear on. And, you know, for $200 a set to run all year, that's very affordable.
Yeah.
Well, the joke is when Cajon Speedway used to be here, you know, they had a kart track in the middle, and we'd go out and, you know, we'd race with our own division, but a lot of the stock car guys would come out and just do tune-ups. And I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he had his car. It was a Monte Carlo, had it up in the air, had all the wheels off. He was bleeding the brakes. He had the differential apart. And I go, what are you doing, man? He said, I'm getting ready to go out and practice. I says, yeah, I got to go get ready too. He says, what are you going to do? I don't know, man. I got to put air in the tires. I got to check the clutch and the oil. Oh, yeah, I got to put gas in it. You have a good day. And I turned around and left. This guy was sweating like a pig. I mean, he had all the money wrapped up in this car. And like you said, I had probably $1,500 in it, you know. And I had the time of my life.
And at the end of the day, you probably had more fun than he did.
This is why I don't come see you.
Yeah. Because then he'll want one.
No. I already want one. Just talking to him is bad enough. But I really think I need to do it. Because I've never done the dirt. I've done the enduro. I've done the I mean, I've done all everything, but I haven't done the dirt. And what's-his-face really got me fired up on it. His last name is big, tall guy, like almost 7 foot tall.
Oh, Justin Garcia.
Justin Garcia, yeah. And I actually put him on KUSI-TV the whole nine yards. And I figure, man, not only does he do it at that height, but he wins.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
He's a good driver.
Yeah. So
do you have a website?
Yeah, what's the website?
For your series?
Yeah, so our series website is SoCalOvalCarters.com, and we also have a Facebook page, SoCalOvalCarters. And if anyone is interested, they can email me directly if they want to get into karting. And my email address is MattJonesRacing@Yahoo.com, anytime.
Well, write my email down, stalld@cox.net, S-T-A-L-L-D @cox.net. I'd love to get you and some of your drivers down to TV and, you know, put you on the map, because once you get on KUSI, boy, people just will be coming to see you.
Well, we appreciate it.
Anything I can do to keep you guys going in circles.
Right.
All right, buddy. Hey, well, thanks again. We look forward to seeing you at the track.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. All right, folks, we're going to take a small break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up Racer Radio right here on AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. This is Racer Radio, brought to you by Certified Car Clinic. Located 11370 North Woodside Avenue in lovely Santee. Go to certifiedcarcare.net. And if you're looking to plumb the underside of your car with braided hoses and things like that, well, Hose Specialty is in the same building as Certified Car Clinic. So go to hosespecialties.com. Take a look. Matt will be more than happy to help build you a beautiful system that goes under your hood that will last forever at Certified Car Clinic at 11370 North Woodside Avenue in Santee, just down the street from the drive-in movie. You can't miss it. There's a big, huge glass building that just got built on the north side of Woodside, and you'll see it. And then just when you pass that, you'll see Certified Car Clinic. So make sure you check it out. Okie dokie.
So did you know that there's going to be a motocross exhibit in Las Vegas?
Motocross exhibit?
Well, BMX motocross. How about that? Well, does that work for you?
Bicycles.
Is it?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. So Nitro Circus Las Vegas.
That makes sense.
Is going to take up residence at Bally's next year.
Right.
They're going to have stuntmen doing daredevil feats.
On BMX bicycles.
Yes. Okay. On the Jubilee Theater.
That's where it all started. Well,
yeah.
Nitro Circus. That's
what it's being called. Nitro Circus Las Vegas.
That's Travis Pastrana.
Uh-huh.
And Travis was the one that did the Evil Knievel.
Just recently, yeah. So the reason why he did that whole stunt is to promote this.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. He's not going to be performing. No. He's just the guy behind it.
Yeah. He is Nitro Circus.
So if you are interested in this, you can get tickets starting in October.
Well, and if you've never been to one of these Nitro Circus events, you might want to consider it, because these guys and girls do the wildest things on bicycles.
Hmm.
I mean, they do flips and spins and things that you wouldn't think a bicycle was designed to do.
So is this something that you could do if you used to do BMX and you want to make some good money?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, if you know, and a lot of kids will do it, you know, mainly because of the, you know, they've got these new foam pits that you can jump off of stuff and flip and land in the foam.
And you'll never hurt yourself.
And you're not going to hurt yourself until you can perfect the jump. And then once you perfect it, then you can move off to something a little more solid.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Right on. So did you watch a lot of racing yesterday?
I did watch a little bit. I did watch the Camping World Truck Series, and of course Kyle Busch won it. Eric Jones gave him a run for his money, but Kyle Busch had it pretty well dialed in. They were at the Pocono Raceway, which is where NASCAR has been running. Eric Jones was second. D. Sargent was third, another rookie driving a Chevy. Friesen, also driving a Chevy, was fourth. He's another outstanding rookie coming up. Haley was fifth. Ingfinger was sixth. Gillian was seventh. Souter was eighth. Crafton was ninth. Joe Nemechek, the old man, came out. And he was strong in the beginning, but he ended up running 10th. And then Rhodes was 11th. Snyder was 12th. Hill was 13th. Jed Coughlin's son, I think it is, he's 14th. So, you know, normally the Coughlins are into drag racing, but not this time. So those were your top 15 in the Camping World Truck Series. And the Xfinity race was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really a good race. I mean, it was mainly the you know, there were no Kyle Busches in there. But the race between Bell and Allgaier was just unbelievable. Back and forth, back and forth. And another rookie, Benjamin, came in third. Chastain was fourth. And then another one of the Nemechek's, he came in fifth. Elliott Sadler, who was, he's been around forever, came in sixth.
I like him.
And then Reed was seventh. And then Ryan Truex was eighth. Cole Custer, another up-and-coming driver, was ninth. Briscoe was 10th. Hemric, who is really up-and-coming, he was 11th. And then that was your top, basically your top 12. But this Xfinity race, I mean, racing has really, really gotten competitive and fun to watch.
Well,
because the kids are all, you know, they're coming out.
Yep.
They were talking to Kyle Larson, and this, I almost kind of went, really? Kyle Larson, when he signed the contract to race, the deal breaker was he had to be able to run dirt.
Had to.
Well, most teams don't want you to do anything but the sport they signed you for.
Right. They don't want you to do dirt because you can get hurt.
Well, Tony Stewart broke his leg, you know, and he was out.
Yes.
And
that's just one example.
Owner, but Kyle Larson, but they talked to Kyle Larson's crew chief and they said, you know, a happy driver is a good driver. An unhappy driver is not a good driver. And if he doesn't get to run the dirt, he's not a happy driver. But Larson came right out and says, deal breaker. If I can't run the dirt, not ride driving for you.
Wow, good for him.
And I mean, right? Who would turn Kyle Larson away?
Yeah, so they had to say, all righty, so, you can do your dirt.
But they say he's, and in fact, if you look at the top five of any of these division drivers, almost every one of them has come from the dirt. So dirt is important.
Mm-hmm.
And even Kyle Larson was saying that, you know, a lot of what I learned on dirt, I use on asphalt. Because asphalt drivers have a tendency to get in the groove and they stay in the groove. Well, not the dirt guys. Dirt guys are all over the track, high, low, high, low, always looking for speed and a good place to run. And Kyle Larson says, that's what I do. He says, I'll run all over the track until I can find me a spot to where I can gain speed, performance, and horsepower. And a lot of the dirt guys don't do that. Now, here's a question. It's too bad we don't do callers. How many out there want to see NASCAR doing a dirt race? Because they do the truck race at Eldora. You know, this is a Tony, and Tony is just beating on the France family, like with a wooden stick, trying to get them to run a NASCAR race on dirt. France is not a fan. He's not real. But what was interesting is they asked Kyle Larson that question. And what do you think Kyle said?
He was happy about that.
He said, absolutely no way. I do not want to put a NASCAR on dirt. Period. Huh. He says, nope, it's not the right idea.
Huh.
It's not a good idea. He says,
but that's funny because if you look at the history of NASCAR, you know, it actually started on dirt in the back roads and all running the rum.
I think if they did a, I think if they were to do a, kind of like the, what's that one race they run where there's no money? I mean, it's all money and there's no points. You know, like the Coca-Cola, you know, the challenge and or the Bud Challenge. And they were saying, well, if you were going to do that and run that on the dirt.
Oh, as long as there's no points involved.
Yeah, no points.
Just for fun.
Just for fun. Yeah, maybe. Because that's really what the truck race, I think. I don't think there's any points in that. But you know, it's.
Well.
Even when you watch the truck, the only thing between the trucks on asphalt and dirt is on dirt, they've got tread. But once they slick that track down, I mean, it's as shiny as asphalt. So
tell me about it.
It's still, you know, it's like asphalt. It's just slipperier.
Yeah.
But I would like to see, I don't think I would want to see it. Would you want to see NASCAR on the dirt?
I think it would be interesting. And I like the idea of once a year.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to see a whole series of it.
Right.
But
no,
I want to
see more road courses.
Sort of like I was like an all-star game.
Exactly.
Something like that
was the word I was looking for. All-star. I'd like to see a road course.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
I want to see
Heck
road course
yeah.
racing more. Because, you know, we've got, what, Watkins Glen, and we've mm-hmm. got, Northern Cal.
Laguna Seca.
Sears Point.
Oh, Sears Point?
Yeah, which is now Sonoma Raceway. Mm. I mean, that's a good place to do it. Because I think NASCARs are, I mean, I just love them on road courses. Mm. Of course, everybody knows how to drive road courses now, so that's not no surprise. So, yeah, well, we're halfway into the season. There's only six more races in the NASCAR.
So it's heating up.
Monster Energy. So before the end, before they have to go to the chase.
Well, they call it the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yikes. I don't like that.
I don't like it either.
It's stupid.
Well, I'm not a fan of...
not playoffs. They're not playing. They're racing.
They're racing. They should just run...
the race-offs.
Should run what you brung.
Just call it the finals.
And just call it the finals.
Yeah.
I totally 1,000% agree. But hey, who's going to listen to
Nobody listens to us. Nobody asked us.
Nobody's going to listen to us. There's no doubt about it.
It's all right. We're used to it.
But we do highly recommend you support your local tracks.
Of course.
And that would be Cocopa, El Centro, Barona, Paris, Orange, Ventura, if you want to go that far. Mm-hmm. Irwindale for sure.
Oh yeah, and
I haven't heard anything about Irwindale. Are they even running?
They are running. They're not doing PR.
Are they sleeping?
They haven't reached out to us.
No, I don't think I haven't heard.
No, but I know that they're running stuff. They did some drifting. I heard about that.
Yeah, but they need to reach out.
Yeah, they do drag racing. From what I understand, they're doing the drag racing every Thursday night.
And same thing with Auto Club Speedway. I think
Every Wednesday night.
They're doing drag racing every Wednesday night?
Mm-hmm.
Well, folks, if you go to carcentric.net, you can find all this stuff out.
Yeah, as well as the calendar.
Didn't you upgrade everything?
I updated the calendar, a week ago.
So you guys can go there.
Carcentric.net, and that does include the names of all the racetracks.
Right.
Yes.
And museums.
And the museums.
And car reviews.
And a list of all the hybrid and electric vehicles in production and on the way.
There you go.
In the meantime, you can like us on Racer Radio on Facebook,
absolutely,
as well as on You Ought to Know on Facebook.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, and Facebook.
Just Dave Stahl.
Dave
Good old
Stahl.
Dave Stahl.
Simple. All right. Hey, Gun Sports Radio is coming up next. We got a full house. You'll definitely want to hang out for that right here on AM 1170.
The Answer.
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails.
Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.